How many of you have heard of Billy Graham? Well, you know, you're all old, that's why. You know, we're old, we know. Billy Graham was, as you know, one of the great evangelists of the last 100 years. He drew crowds of tens of thousands, and he really preached the word of God. And he was very open to other churches. He said, if you're a Catholic, if you're a Lutheran, go to your church this Sunday. Go to your church. He really did us a favor. How many of you heard of Billy Sunday? Okay, a few. There would be no Billy Graham without Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday, and his original last name was Sonntag, which is Sunday in German. But he was a professional baseball player, very, very famous. But he gave it all up when he underwent a conversion. And like Billy Graham, he preached to thousands of people. And like Billy Graham, he said, go to your church, whatever it is, and praise the Lord, learn about God. He was a great preacher. You know, it's too bad we don't have Catholics that have done something like that. Bishop Sheen certainly was along those lines with the media, but Billy Graham, Billy Sunday were great preachers of the good news, and we have to thank God for them. Now, Billy Sunday said this, and it's one, you know, if I had said this, I'd probably be retired now and famous. But Billy Sunday said, just because you go to church on Sunday does not make you a Christian any more than standing in your garage makes you an automobile. He was right on. And I can imagine Jesus saying that to the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Just because you go to the temple or the synagogue every day doesn't make you a good Jew. So, you know, the story hasn't changed. But think of what Billy Sunday was saying. He was right on, spot on. You know, we can go to church, but to be a Christian, or I'm going to use the word disciple, because that's a Christian who is totally convinced and convicted and committed. It's something we have to choose to do and do every single day. We have to work at it. No excuses. Well, I was too tired. Or, you know, I'm too old, whatever, I can't do X, Y, Z. Well, find something you can do. I mean, Billy Sunday, Billy Graham, Archbishop Fulton Sheen, they'd all say the same thing, is until you're dead. And if you really want to be a Christian disciple, you got to work at it. And you can't say, this takes precedence over my walk with the Lord. So a disciple, and both Protestant and Catholics would say that maybe 5 to 7% of church-going Christians are real disciples. Wow, that's low. But that seems to be the case. And so the disciple is the one who's always involved in some way, and not just in church activities, but always outside too, looking for people who need to hear about the love of God and the desire of God to forgive us when we sin. You know, they're always doing that. That's primary. Every day, that is primary. It's not about where should we go to eat, or like last week I said, we're out of here after the 8 o'clock mass to Bob's Diner. You know, I mentioned the disciple might actually see somebody along the road and say, hey, you want to go to breakfast with us? That would be a disciple. You know, being hospitable, kind, loving. So we have a long way to go, and Jesus preached that same gospel. It was no different for him as it was for Billy Sunday, as it was for Billy Graham. It's all about commitment or living our baptisms, and we do not get a rest in this life until we die. There's just no way that we can say, I'm done. I can't grow anymore. There's nothing more I can learn about. And we can say, which you hear a lot, oh, I can't do that. You know, that's not my personality. Well, what is your personality? What are your gifts? What do you like to do? What are you good at? And then to use them as a way of proclaiming the gospel. And we've all got gifts. I mean, many people have the wonderful gift of just talking with people, that's a wonderful gift, especially in this day and age when you might want people's attention, but they're on their phone or they're on their computer. You know, it's not person to person. So to be able to give that to people is a great gift. And Jesus was a great communicator, obviously, because in the parable today, he's talking about farming. How many of you have flower gardens or vegetable gardens? How many of, if you have a, let's say, a vegetable garden, how, if it's doing really well, raise your hand. Okay, so we're going to see all this zucchini brought in, you know, and say, take it off my hands, please. But, so we know what gardening's all about. I got all this stuff in my backyard. I use this kind for planting in this container and this, and some's doing well, some isn't. I'm certainly not an expert farmer, although my maternal grandfather was a farmer, and I love, you know, growing things. It's wonderful. So we know what makes for a good garden, even if we may be failures. You know, we don't have a green thumb, but we have a black thumb. It seems like everything we plant is either eaten by the deer or it dies. We know what that's like. We know how disappointing that is. But Jesus is using something we're familiar with to grab our attention. And notice the types of hearers of the word that fail is not because God makes them fail, it's because they choose to fail. The types of hearers who fail at taking the seed, the word of God, are multiple compared to the one type of ground where the seed takes root and produces an abundant harvest. You know, it's almost like, geez, Lord, the odds are stacked against us. So what are we saying? Lord, I need some better fertilizer. Lord, I need more water. And of course, that's what God wants us to ask for. He wants us to pursue it, not just, you know, pray, you know, thinking God will do all the heavy work. Well, he does, but we've got to cooperate. We've got to work with God. There's nothing free, in one sense, about being a Christian. It costs our entire lives. And yet there again, if we were really clever and really knew our faith, we'd be out with placards that say, freedom, liberty, joy. Because that's really what our faith is all about. But do we ever let people know that? That if they really take that seed and listen to it and are converted every single day, that they will produce fruit that, well, it's again like the zucchinis, you can't keep giving them away. And yet we'd want to keep giving our faith away because we just get more and more and more. And the more we give, the more we get. Jesus says that, he promises it. But we're so kind of narrow-minded and small-hearted. We don't ask God for the big stuff. I mean, we could all say, God, give me suffering. God, give me a push this week. I don't care what it is. God, I give you total permission to do whatever you think you want to do, what I need, so that I can really bear good fruit. Do we ever talk that way? And then do we evaluate our Christian discipleship? And how do we do that? Well, again, Jesus tells us, what kind of fruit are we bearing? What kind of gifts are we giving to other people? Do we see people coming alive when we engage with them, care for them, talk with them, and share a bit of our faith with them? Or even better, say, hey, let's sit down and have a cup of coffee, or invite someone over for dinner, or just to a stranger. And we have parishioners like that, praise God, few and far between, who will go up to someone they don't even know, but they say, you know, you don't look real good. Are you okay? Can I pray for you? Something like that, as simple as that. And we all have that ability, we do. And again, Catholics are very good. Well, that's not my personality. Well, get over it. I was born a very high introvert. Would you believe that? I am. So I had to work at being an extrovert, and thank God my first pastor was an extrovert, for I would watch him before Mass. I didn't do it until I became a pastor, but I would watch them go up and down the aisles, talking with people, joking, asking about their family, so that when I became a pastor, I said, I got to do that too. I got to do that too, because I need to know who the people are who are with me to work in the kingdom of God, who are called to work in the garden, the vineyard, and produce an abundant harvest. So it's something that there's nothing we can't achieve with God's help, of course, and if it's God's will, but you know, God's will is, I think, a lot bigger than we think it is, but there's nothing we can't achieve with God's help to get over things that we think are obstacles. And don't we talk about God that way, that he's the God who takes care of obstacles? Read the lives of the saints. You know, a lot of non-Catholic Christians don't believe in saints and all that, that you can't talk with them now, that so forth and so on. But we do. And so we have these often miserable people, mean people, who underwent a conversion, then suddenly everything is wonderful and they're going out and doing things they didn't think they could do. But in a sense, they gave permission to God, do what you have to do, and they gave themselves permission to really go deeper into their faith. So we need to be challenged. We need to challenge one another. We need to say, in a nice way, that's not good enough. You know, we need that. You know, where would we be if we went through school and a teacher said, now what's going on here? Are you studying at home? Are you doing your homework? And our parents say, did you do your homework? Now why are you failing? You know, that sort of thing. We need that as a Christian community. And we also need a Christian community that comes together to celebrate the things that we have done in the name of God, to celebrate the fruits that happen as a result of being fertile ground. And again, the fertile ground is not magically there. We're all in the same sort of situation, but the question is, do I fertilize myself? Do I read? Do I pray? Do I go out of my way, so to speak, to learn new things? Do I water my garden? Do I go to the watering trough, which is first and foremost God, but also my brothers and sisters? Can you even imagine going to a fellow Catholic parishioner in our parish and say, how would you describe me as a Christian? What kind of a disciple do you think I am? Then you have to define the word disciple, but can you imagine doing that? Ooh, Lord, don't you judge me. I'll judge you, but you don't judge me. But wouldn't that be something if we did that? And again, that's what healthy communities do. They do. They do. There are men and women all over the world, Christians who have given up ownership of whatever to be part of a community that literally practices with one another becoming disciples and not saying, I'm going, goodbye, but rather, no, I have to stay because I really do want to bear good fruit. I really want to be that fertile soil. And it's in all of us. We all have the ability. And again, I've said this again and again, and I'm more and more convinced, and Pope Francis has talked about it. You've got to have the means for that. And for us, it's community. It's every one of us. Every one of us. We need to be responsible to one another. We need to support one another. We need to walk with one another, so that when we go out into the community, we've already practiced what truly being focused on our neighbor is all about. So it's not this big divide. What we do in church should not be different from what we do in the grocery store or when we're driving somewhere to get the car fixed or whatever. We should always have that mindset, okay, what's the fruit that I can give birth to in this particular situation? And again, as Jesus says, if we keep working at it, he's going to give us more. And if we don't, he's going to take away what little we have. That's frightening. That's frightening. And, you know, as we talk about our lives and where we want to be someday, really it's up to us. I mean, the Lord's not going to come in and say something that didn't happen, he's basically going to say, okay, this is what you did and this is what you didn't do, and I really didn't get a sense that you wanted to be with me for all eternity, or I really got the sense that you did. And so we're practicing that devotion to the Lord and to do the will of God, even if it means giving our own lives, so that when death comes, it's not going to come as a shock or something terrible, but something that we have been practicing for and looking forward to all our lives. So maybe an image to take away. Think of yourself as a zucchini vine. You're all zucchini this coming week, and you want to get rid of it. You want to give it away. So what might that zucchini look as you go with people? How do you want to gift people with this wonderful vegetable? You know you can make chocolate cake out of zucchini? You all know that. So what a great representation of what we're supposed to be. You know, we may look kind of fat and green, but boy, we can make really moist cake and brownies, and you can stuff zucchini, and you can spiralize it and mix it. You know, it's there's no end to it. So what kind of zucchini are you going to be? What kind of food for other people are you going to be? How are you going to live what we're practicing right now? Praising God, thanking God, praying for one another, enjoying our faith. Boy, if more Catholics had smiles on their faces, this church would be full. But those are things we need to practice if we want to bear good fruit. So again, think of what Billy Sunday said. Just because you go to church every Sunday doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in your garage makes you an automobile. And think of yourself as fruitful, like that zucchini vine that keeps producing and kind of pushes us, give it away, give it away, give it away. That's our faith. So again, as you go forth, think of this coming week. You'll have plenty of opportunities to do it, but just think of some of the ways in which you might do it. What are you good at? What do you like to do? What do you have an overabundance of? You like to tell jokes, whatever. Use it. Use it all to grab people's attention so that we can eventually talk also about our faith in Jesus Christ, so that other people then can receive the Word of God, take it to heart, and bear good fruit, abundant fruit.